Health officials in China are working to contain the spread of a new strain of pneumonia caused by the coronavirus. It's ahead of the Chinese Lunar New Year holidays when thousands of people are travelling. China says the disease is still preventable and controllable, despite 17 new cases confirmed in the city of Wuhan and 2 confirmed casualties. The fresh cases have prompted concerns the virus could spread to other countries, including Australia. Dr. Rani Thevarajan is an infectious disease physician with the Peter Doherty Institute for Infection and Immunity at the University of Melbourne. Welcome to Breakfast, Irani.
Thank you, Norman.
So how serious is this illness?
It's serious enough for us to be, as you rightly said, concerned that we've all got to be on alert. And I think that the medical community and the public health officials need to be on alert about this being a novel virus. The fact that we don't know enough about this virus yet to know about its transmission risk, its entirety in terms of the kind of clinical syndrome it leads to, and also exactly what where the potential cases are going to be greatest at risk. So I think there's a lot of unknowns, so that in itself is alarming. But what is important to know, however, is that there's a lot of surveillance and networks in place and a lot of connectivity between the different public health officials and institutions globally, that as new information arises on this coronavirus, the key people involved are being notified. And I think there's increasing confidence in that.
What's the death rate so far? I mean, what's the mortality rate from the virus? Do we know the percentage of people who die who are infected?
Well, we don't know the total number. So far, there are around 60 confirmed cases and 2 deaths. But I'm not sure that I think the numbers, we're still learning on a daily basis exactly what the denominator is and what the numerator is in terms of affected cases. And so it's hard to comment on mortality at this stage, but there have been two confirmed fatalities.
Is there a test for the virus?
There is a test for the virus. So there is a sequence that has now been released by the laboratories in China via WHO to other key laboratories. And so we know how to identify this coronavirus. And it is a virus that is different to SARS and MERS, of the same family, but different in its sequence to SARS and MERS, which have obviously been a cause of alarm over the last couple of decades in terms of what they've resulted in.
And MERS is Middle Eastern respiratory virus, which has been associated with the Hajj and also is pretty nasty. Now, are we able to deduce whether or not there is significant human-to-human transfer? Because the scary thing with SARS was you could just pick it up from the end of the bed.
Yeah.
It was very easy to transmit.
Yeah. So as far as we know, the WHO have reported there's likely to be limited human-to-human transmission. So they've actually changed the status from there's been no case of human-to-human transmission last week to there's limited human-to-human transmission. So I think there is information evolving that human-to-human transmission with this virus is likely. But it's, again, this is unconfirmed information.
Well, it's highly unlikely the animals from animal markets are travelling to Thailand and Japan. I mean, it must be human-to-human, surely.
I think that the way that the cases are evolving and the fact that we are seeing travellers in Thailand and Japan are indicative that there's probably more wider transmission. And I think that's what's really the information that is coming out, or at least that's what's suggesting. Yes, I think you're quite right.
There's always been an issue with China reporting on these outbreaks. They've been embarrassed, it's loss of face, and they've gone underground. They seem to be a bit more transparent about this one, but yet there's a disparity in numbers. They're saying there's around 60 confirmed in China, but apparently British experts are saying the figure is nearly 1,700. Where's this discrepancy coming from?
The study that reported the 1,700 is a study that was reported by the Imperial College in London, which is a modelling study. So when they present those numbers, that's an estimation based on what they think the likelihood, incubation period, transmissibility, population movement around the Wuhan airport and in Chinese borders. So that's an estimated figure based on modelling. So I think that...
So in other words, it's the iceberg. If this is the number of people on top of the iceberg, the mathematical model tells you what's under the water.
That's right, but I think that we've got to also, there's a lot of speculation in that model at this stage because we still don't know enough about the incubation period and the actual infectivity of this virus. So when there's a lot of unknowns, I'm not sure that that modelling estimate can really give us a great idea of what's underneath that iceberg.
Now, you're a practicing clinician. Each one of these viruses has a different way of presenting. MERS is different from SARS, and there are lots of other coronaviruses. What do we know about the signs and the symptoms of this particular coronavirus?
We know that the virus presents with fever, plus or minus respiratory symptoms. So it could be fever alone or respiratory symptoms. And clinically, patients present like they have a pneumonia with changes on their chest x-ray.
So cough, rapid breathing.
So cough, shortness of breath, rapid breathing, sore throat, runny nose. A little bit like the presentation of the common cold, but obviously more severe. And so they're the symptoms that have been reported so far in some of the cases. The cases where there have been fatalities, the two cases, it's been reported that both the cases had other comorbidities. So they were patients that had other medical conditions that might have led them to become destabilized in the context of this infection.
So no gastrointestinal symptoms, no tummy symptoms?
No gastrointestinal symptoms have been reported consistently with the case.
So I'm getting on the plane to Thailand or I'm going to Japan. What can I do to protect myself?
I think the message at the moment is that there are no travel restrictions when you're going to any of these other countries. There are considerations of being careful about any contact with other unwell people when entering Wuhan province. But at this stage, there are no travel limitations or recommendations for any country, any surrounding Asian countries or areas outside of the Wuhan province.
And how prepared are we in Australia for this?
There's a large network of public health officials and the medical community. There's the government is actively, the Australian Department of Health is actively considering and monitoring what's happening. There's a lot of discussions at the moment about what we need to be doing. We have, at the Doherty Institute, had a platform in place over the last 2 years for exactly this kind of purpose. So it's an active platform at the moment collecting data on any travellers returning from China so that we can do active research on this current outbreak. And that's really just on a local level, but there's a lot of considerations of what we should be doing on a larger level across the state and across the country. And I think those discussions are ongoing and very much in the realm of the Department of Health.
Irani, thank you.
Thank you very much, Norman.
Irani Farajan, who is an infectious disease physician with the Doherty Institute at the University of Melbourne.